CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Electricity for the United States, the electric power grid. I welcome Bud Weinstein. Bud, writing most recently at The Hill, he's Emeritus Professor of Applied Economics, University of North Texas, former Associate Director of the McGuire Institute at SMU, Fellow of Good Enough College. Bud is looking at electricity, and we begin with a very important warning from the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, acronym NERC. But a good evening to you. What is NERC and what are they telling us about our electric grid right now? Good evening.
Good evening, John. NERC is the regulatory authority that oversees grid operations across the United States and Canada. And they've actually been warning for a number of years that we can be looking at significant power outages during a long, hot summer like the one predicted for the summer of 2022. Indeed, they've broken it down by region. They see the West and the Midwest facing a very high, indeed elevated risk of losing power this summer because they don't have adequate reserves. Other parts of the country, including the state of Texas, where I'm located, are also on the brink of possible electricity shortages this summer. Indeed, the grid operator in Texas, last week when we were having temperatures in the upper 90s, were asking us all to dial down or dial up our thermostats, as it were. So it's going to be a long, hot summer, and I think many consumers and many businesses are going to be looking at power outages.
I note in your column at The Hill that NERC has been talking this way for several years, at least since 2018. You quote, an accelerated retirement of coal-fired and nuclear plants could lead to power outages, temporary shortfalls in surplus generation, and transmission problems. That was then, 2018. Has it gotten any better, Bud?
No, if anything, it's gotten worse. You know, NERC has been talking about this for a number of years. For that matter, I've been writing about this for a number of years. And the problem is made worse, not just by the premature closure of coal and nuclear plants, but the war in Eastern Europe, supply chain issues, dispute with China over tariffs on solar panels, and you put it all together with the federal and state subsidies and mandates for renewable energy, and the bottom line is that we are taking this baseload power offline much faster than reliable alternatives can be put online, and that's why we're looking at possible power outages this summer.
The power outages are because we cannot make up for the coal-fired plants in particular, that's what we're talking about, coal-fired or the nuclear plants. I know there's a nuclear plant in New York that's come offline recently. So this gap, is there anything to fill it other than nuclear and coal right now? I'm just looking at a remedy right now.
I think the only remedy right now is conservation. It takes a while to install new baseload power. I believe there are only one or two natural gas plants of size being constructed in the United States. There is one nuclear plant under construction, but we've shut about 10 of them over the past decade. And we've lost a huge amount of coal. 40 gigawatts of installed coal capacity have been shuttered in recent years. There's another 27 gigawatts that are scheduled to go offline in the next 3 years. And as I said earlier, the problem is, yes, we have been investing in wind, and we've been investing in solar, and we've had some modest investment in large-scale battery storage. But these are unreliable, intermittent sources of power, and that's where the problem comes. On the demand side, as the economy has recovered, we've seen a huge increase in power use across households, across industry. And what we're facing is a potential gap between the demand for reliable power and the supply of reliable power. And it's mainly due to the closure of coal plants in recent years.
I had a conversation with a correspondent who went to the face of a coal face in Kentucky. And what I learned is from that coal face in Kentucky, it's a number of hours, certainly less than a day, before it leaves the depths of Kentucky and arrives at a coal-fired plant. very quick to be turned into energy. I also learned that coal-fired plants are always on. They don't have windless days and sunless days, and they're not disrupted by, say, the depredations of the Russian Federation. That is all accurate. Is that now being weighed in these considerations of shutting coal-fired plants, that it's a different world than it was when the intention was to go to renewables?
I think there's still an intention to wean ourselves off of fossil fuels. Certainly the Biden administration is hewing to that line. They seem to be a little more flexible in terms of acknowledging that we're going to need fossil fuel power generation for a considerable period. They're also talking about perhaps doing some offshore lease sales. They've approved a couple of pipelines recently. So the administration seems to be a little more in the know when it comes to the realities of energy, but still their overarching policy is to shift ourselves off of baseload fossil fuel power generation. They're certainly not showing any enthusiasm for nuclear. The Biden administration hasn't said anything positive about coal, but there are some utilities that had scheduled plant closures of coal facilities this year who have delayed those closures because they see the demand peaking this summer and they want to make sure that they have adequate power available. There's another real advantage to coal right now. It's more expensive to burn gas than coal. Have you seen what's happened to natural gas prices in recent weeks? They've nearly doubled. We get about 50% of our electricity in this country from natural gas. Coal is now supplying about 22%. And yes, coal prices have gone up, but not nearly as much as natural gas prices.
You write about market distortions. I know this isn't an immediate solution, but what would your recommendation be going forward? Since we need coal, we need fossil fuel, we don't have a ready-made substitute. What about the subsidies that are offered to renewables? Are those wise to keep on?
Well, if I could wave a magic wand, I'd get rid of these subsidies. The original justification for subsidizing wind and solar was that, oh, these were infant industries and they need some help till they can stand on their own. Well, they're not infant industries anymore. They're huge industries and they're very competitive, and their competitive edge comes in large part because of the subsidies. So I would get rid of them, but I don't think that's likely to happen, certainly not in a Biden administration, because there's very strong political support for these subsidies. So the alternative, I would argue, is to change the way we price electricity, to make sure that the prices consumers pay for power include a reliability charge. And I think you and I have talked about this before. Don't want to get terribly complex into the mechanics of how it would work, but essentially we need a pricing system for power that recognizes the value of baseload facilities. In other words, to make sure there is a capacity charge in the rate base as an incentive to keep these baseload power plants, the coal and nuclear plants, online, because that's absolutely critical for maintaining grid reliability.
So because coal-fired electric generating plants are always on, isn't that right? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That would be an advantage again versus other sources of power.
Absolutely. Coal plants are always on. Nuclear plants are always on. Large-scale natural gas plants are always on.
Right.
But as we know, wind and solar are not always on, and that's the problem.
Bud Weinstein, writing for The Hill, Emeritus Professor of Applied Economics at the University of North Texas and formerly at the McGuire Energy Institute. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.